O Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother,
Beloved Jesus Christ,
Blessed Master,
Dearest Mother,
Saints and Sages of all religions,
I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development. Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only King.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness. Something a little different today, and we're going to be watching about a 40-minute video with a Russell Wallace. Thank you. He gave the prayer talk to Congress. It's done once a year, and we watched it, and I thought it was wonderful. And so I hope that you get enjoy it and get value out of it. And then I'll give a little talk after, following up on some of the comments that he makes. Before that, though, I just want to say how wonderful last weekend was, and celebration of Mother's Mahasamadhi. For all of you who pitched in hands to make that such a wonderful success, thank you very much. I just felt Mother's presence so powerfully. It was really a unique experience throughout the whole weekend, I thought. And what a tremendous feeling. But a tremendous sense of upliftment and attunement to Mother and to the Divine Masters, and of course, ultimately, who they each represent, which is the ultimate, infinite Divine Consciousness. So, if we're ready, are we all right?
We just dropped the router out for some reason.
Okay. So, maybe the talk will come first then, as Ram arranges. This reading comes from Paramahansa Yogananda, from the Inner Culture magazine in 1936. Let the vibration of peace flow through you. Soul vibration results when a person is always conscious of being with God, and when you are with such a person, you feel the presence of God. This is the vibration to carry with you wherever you go, so that whoever comes in contact with you may forget all but the power and love of God. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That we are each receiver and transmitter stations for the divine power. Try to be the clear crystal through which the sunlight may reflect to all mankind. This kind of vibration gives joy to you, and at the same time, it burns away all evil. The vibration of God is the most intelligent of all and produces perfect harmony. When you let that vibration pass through you, all other vibrations become harmonious within you. That is why Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all else shall be added unto you." And of course, this is absolutely true. One of the reasons why we are told to chant to God is because it carries with it the very vibration of spiritual consciousness. When we chant Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram, or we mentally chant Hung Sa, we are attuning ourselves with the vibration of those words. In Sanskrit, the words are a scientific correlation to the state of consciousness from which they emit. And so a realized soul will come to the understanding through their own intuitive apprehension that certain words, certain vibrations, carry with it the very word or vibration of God. Ram is such a one of those. Om is another. Hong Sa correlate to the Christ consciousness found at the Ajna and the Kutasya Chaitanya. And it is through the repetition of those, whether we understand or even assign a meaning to it, the vibration of the words itself begins to enter into the consciousness. From the conscious mind, it enters into the subconscious mind, the subconscious mind that is a powerful broadcaster of thought. It takes in whatever is taken in through experience in this world and through our own conscious mind, and it begins to repeat that back out through our worldly life as habit, as thought, as associations that come from the subconscious mind. And so the conscious mind becomes a land or a place of creative thought that feeds into the subconscious mind. But above the subconscious and the conscious mind resides the superconscious mind. This is the intelligence and the feeling of God consciousness that is within each individual. Every person has total and perfect right to it. Really, when we pray, the prayer takes us to an inner alignment, an inner attunement. And it is from that inner attunement that prayer goes out with great power. Prayer has very little power when it is just simply a positive thought, when it is a wish for something to happen, for a healing to happen, or some change of circumstance. Combine that wish or that thought in the conscious mind with the superconscious mind, and suddenly we have a powerful vehicle for that divine consciousness to travel out into this world and to change it. When we come to a point of total and complete surrender, it is at that moment that we can set aside the resistance of the conscious and the subconscious mind, and we open up a clear avenue to the superconscious mind. And it is there that divine will can be expressed and made manifest. The subconscious mind, with its programming of likes and dislikes and ups and downs and beliefs in expansiveness and beliefs in contractiveness and how we defend ourselves and the shadows that live in the subconscious mind, is what gives us mixed results when we try to go within, when we issue out a prayer. If a part of us is believing, I really want this circumstance to be changed, say we're praying for somebody else who is in a difficult situation. But a part of the subconscious mind has the belief that really that situation cannot be changed. Isn't that how life always goes? Isn't illness, isn't not having enough money, aren't those things that really everybody experiences? So why would I think that it would be any different for this individual? And so we have a counteractive thought within the subconscious mind for every thought that we have as a prayer that issues from us. And so we don't get the results. When we are able to clear the subconscious mind of its various programmings and then issue that out through the superconscious mind, we are a real powerhouse. In Jesus' time, it was recorded that Jesus had come down from a mountaintop. And when he came down from that mountaintop, and in those days he went out to the mountain to pray. Now the mountain is being uplifted into the superconsciousness of divine consciousness. and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, or in other words, when illumination came into his consciousness, he called his disciples to himself. The disciples are all the different spinal centers, the six different spinal centers by polarity, become the 12 disciples. And from them he chose 12, whom he named also apostles. Simon, who was also, his name was Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became the traitor. And so these are the 12 different signs that go with the zodiac. They are also the 12 different aspects along the spine. And when Jesus calls them to himself, they are all being aligned with divine consciousness. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits. And they were healed. Quote, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. And so this is what, describing what happens right within our own consciousness. When you are lifted up into the mountain of your own being, and you commune there with the Christ, and then all the different aspects of yourself along the spine are charged with that Christ consciousness. You are called. The Christ calls to each one of them. Then what happens is that you are filled with that divine consciousness, that Christ consciousness. You feel it in every part of your being, and yet there are parts of your being that are not yet in full communion with God. They have diseases. They have disharmonies. They have various things that are wrong with them. And as a result of that, they drag your consciousness back down to earthly consciousness. But the Christ was filled with the power of God. You are filled with it, and it begins to transform your being. As you are able to hold that consciousness, the daylight illumines within you, and you hold that consciousness, it begins to heal all these disharmonies. It begins to go into the subconscious mind that still can be a repository of all the various inner conflicts that you feel. And when this happens, this healing occurs, and you are through and through now aligned with divine consciousness. So it's a wonderful thing when we chant the name of God, we feel uplifted in that consciousness. And as we are well aware, at those times we can be so filled with God, and then something will happen and the mind will be drawn back down. This is the result of samskaras, or those tendencies from the past. And those are the things that keep us from being a pure channel of God. And our challenge, our work as aspirants, is to go into the temple within our own being, to purify ourselves through and through. It is no easy task, because we have lived so long at odds and in disharmony with the divine consciousness within us. And so this is our work to do, but we can do it. The masters have shown that we can do it. And Mother, perhaps because she was a Westerner, she lived a life much as many of us have lived. She had a family. She had worked in business. She had to struggle with so many different things that came to her. She is a real example to us. And as she used to say, if I, one little woman, can do this, then you can do it too. And it's a great inspiration to us. Continuing on with Master, the God that I perceive is as real and as more than real than all this human life. By constantly desiring that my eyes should be opened, I received him. I had closed my eyes to him, but through unswerving determination and constantly trying to surround myself with harmonious vibrations within and without, through regular meditation, my eyes were opened, and I saw him templed everywhere. So remember this. Develop a fine sensitivity. After you meditate deeply, use that perception and all the feeling that you have after meditation, and concentrate that feeling in the heart. Then it will give you power to radiate good vibrations and to absorb good vibrations, and it will also give you wisdom. Let that vibration flow through your hands, eyes, and speech. And whoever comes in contact with you will feel its blessings. Just say, God flows through me. What am I afraid of? And wherever you are, that vibration will correct wrong surroundings. Only good vibrations can become absorbed in that spirit. So this wonderful vibration becomes your inner guru. First, you feel that vibration in the presence of the guru, and the guru lifts you up into that divine consciousness. There's a power that goes out because each one of us are receiving stations and transmitting stations. We are receiving stations in the heart center, and that is where you receive the thoughts and vibrations of God. You are a transmitting station from your ajna, from the third eye point. And so when you focus your attention at the ajna and you think only of God, you're transmitting out to God and you're bringing yourself into harmony with the vibrations of God. God vibrations are all around us. We live, you live, I live in this sea of vibrations of God. And yet we are like a broken radio. We don't have the receptivity to be able to really recognize those divine vibrations. We get around other people. We get into situations that don't represent that higher vibration. And suddenly our mind is drawn to the people and the situations outside of ourselves. And we lose that channel that tunes us into God vibrations. It's just as simple as that, really. And if you could learn to dial in to God vibrations at all times and not let anything distract you, not to the left, not to the right, not above or below, but you stay directly on in tune with the divine vibrations, then you would feel them constantly, always in your life. Now, that's not difficult. It's not complicated. What complicates it are all the various attractions and attachments that we feel for the things of this world that put everything before God. When we put God first, when we think of God first, when we feel God first, then that changes your life and you become a receiving station for those divine vibrations. And then just very naturally, you begin to transmit them. And so you become a powerful transmission station for God. And you change the very vibrations of the people who are around you. You may not have any interchange with them in a through speech, but the vibrations are going out from you. And because they do, they change the nature of the people who are around you. Now, where two or more are gathered, there is a special power because as you combine the God vibrations between two or more, you become a vastly more powerful transmission station. And when we are all attuning ourselves to God and sending it out through prayer, we become a real powerhouse. And it doesn't take all the population to have to do this. A small percentage of the population can effect an immense change. and can begin to counteract some of the evil vibrations that are sent out, some of the materialistic vibrations that are sent out, and it changes this world. And it changes the hearts and minds of receptive souls everywhere. This is a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's a gift that is given to us. It is really the way that we are meant to live in this life. Suppose you come with kindness in your heart to a divine person who radiates that vibration. Then your kindness increases and the giver receives much kindness too. This is the vibration you want to emanate. In the beginning, it is better to have only good people and good books around you. One way of talking about this is to have a fence around you, that we are told not to dangle our pearls before swine. I ask for, and people make contributions around writings, around their experiences with mother. And generally, these things are something that we hold close to us. One of the reasons is that if we send out those thoughts and vibrations, we tell about our experiences to people who do not appreciate them. They will take those vibrations and they will begin to try to beat them down. They'll try to denigrate them because it makes them uncomfortable. On some deep unconscious level, they know the truth of it, but they're not willing or wanting to do what it takes for themselves to enter into those states. And so they don't treat them with care or kindness or good regard. And as a result of it, it can trigger something in us where we feel the pain of that negative vibration, and it takes away the power and the purity of the very thing that uplifted our souls in the first place that we are trying to relate. You will notice that you will be talking to God about someone, and the vibration just seems to flow. It just flows from you. And it's harmonious, and it's lovely, and it's wonderful. And then somebody else you'll be trying to talk to about God. Maybe they've even expressed some interest. And suddenly you've confused yourself. You don't even know what you're talking about. And you can't quite make sense of it. And this is a very definite sign to stop right there. You are not getting a receptive instrument on the other side, and it is interfering with the flow of God within you. And you're trying to force something that shouldn't be forced. So as a result of that, you take that cue and you stop that right now. And as a general rule, we don't talk about our deepest experiences except with those who will treat it with the kindness and the respect and the care that it deserves. Others who are deeply on the path themselves. And even then, we don't be careless about it. As you hold the power of the divine consciousness within you, you become a greater powerhouse for God. So many times after Mother would give a talk, people would stand in line and we'd be waiting to give her a hug on the way out. And people would begin to talk and just greet each other and say hello. And suddenly somebody talked a little bit louder or somebody laughed. And then, of course, the whole volume has to get up for everybody else to feel that they're being heard. And suddenly it's a Tower of Babel. And it's a roar. And Mother would have to come out sometimes and say, listen, quiet it down here. And sometimes she'd have to do that several times. One of the reasons for that is that everybody had been charged up with divine consciousness from Mother. She was a tremendously powerful transmitting station. Tremendous. And they weren't used to holding that power. And so once it started to escape out through their words, then it just took on a greater and greater life of its own. And so we have to learn how to hold that consciousness when you're done with your meditation. And you feel some upliftment, and you feel some peace. And then you leave your meditation room and you go out into the world. And you don't hold that power. Soon it's dissipated. And you don't feel the peace. You don't feel the uplifted consciousness in the same way that you did before. So we learn how to hold the divine consciousness. And you learn how to expand your consciousness. Sometimes people will call me and they'll just say, I just feel like coming out of my skin. I've got so much energy coming out. And the reason is because that divine consciousness is being channeled through the human nerves. And it gives you tremendous energy, and it feels like too much energy. And so you even try to tamp it down. The key is to feel your consciousness expanding. And you can do that through mental imagery. Just make an image of your consciousness, feel the electromagnetic field around you expanding and growing, the light around you expanding and growing. You can send it all the way out into space. And suddenly you can breathe. Suddenly you can hold that consciousness, because before it was too much, because it was being channeled through the old nervous system of the body. And that Christ consciousness cannot be held. No man has ever seen God. That is, in your human state of consciousness, you cannot truly behold God. Because in human consciousness, it's limited, and God is unlimited. So you learn how to allow that divine consciousness to expand out through you. Dispel all inharmonious vibrations from your life by meditating regularly. In deep contact, God comes as ever new bliss. The God of the clouds, the God of the moon and the sun, the God that is templed in all creation will come within you and manifest as peace, and you must learn to love him as the peace and bliss of meditation. And so through meditation, you learn to expand divine consciousness, and you lift yourself up, and you allow that to become your new home, your new place where you reside. May this Om or Amen vibration, conjoined with the music of the spheres, dispel all your darkness and bring joy and understanding in your heart. And so you become a temple of God vibration, and it changes you, all for the better. You realize how shallow life had been before that. And now you are lifted into divine consciousness, and you are able to hold it. You manifest it naturally. There are no longer opposing forces within you. But your life does not end there, not by any stretch of the imagination. Your life really just begins when you begin to live in God. So how are we doing? All right. Okay. Well, it's perfect timing, because that's the end of that. I'll end with a quote from Papa. Be conscious always that the God that you pray to is within you, and everywhere about you. His protection and grace are there ever for you. Be always aware that he is guiding you from within. There are copies of what I was reading from that are out on the table, as well as this wonderful book that I have someplace and isn't here right now, but it's Memories of Mother, and as well as the DVD tape of the centenary. So please feel free to take any for yourself and for any friends that you think may enjoy it. I feel very, very happy and satisfied with the publications and everybody's contributions. It's truly a gift. So I think our video is now ready. So Kathy, you'll have to, you can bring your chair into here if you like.
You can hear fine, yeah, that's true. You'll be able to hear it. There's not too much. It's kind of nice to watch this expression. But no, it's kind of nice.
This is Russell Wallace. He is a Hollywood film writer type. And perhaps, we're caught here.
Oh,
an unusual type, perhaps, maybe not as unusual as we think, but he was invited to give a talk on prayer to the Congress. They do that once a year, and I think he's a marvelous storyteller, and he has some real things to offer and to add. I think you'll agree when we're done. So let us proceed with Russell Walton.